Hello, and welcome to the Duane Morris Money and Banking Law Podcast with Joe Sylvia, brought to you by the global law firm of Duane Morris. I'm your host, Joe Sylvia. I'm a former Federal Reserve lawyer who represents banks, fintechs, and other clients on M&A, payments, and regulatory matters at Duane Morris. I'm also a core member of our banking, fintech, and digital assets practices. The goal of the Duane Morris Money and Banking Law Podcast is to inform and educate our clients and friends on both the fundamental concepts and structure of the banking ecosystem, as well as critical developments in the law and regulation of money and banking. On this episode, we're talking about class actions, and I'm super happy to have a great partner of mine out of our Chicago office, Alex Karasik, who is on our really highly regarded class action defense team. He's been working on this for a long time, had some really successful wins. And so I'm thrilled to have him on with me today. So Alex, before we get into the nitty gritty, just give us a little background on your practice, your experiences representing clients, especially in the financial services sector, and we'll kind of take it from there.
Thank you, Joe. Really a pleasure to be here today. I'm a big fan of your podcast and exciting to see the type of content you're covering in the financial sector. I'm Alex Karasik. I'm a partner at Duane Morris in our Chicago office. I specialize in helping companies solve problems and craft solutions to both prevent and defend against class action lawsuits. I defend companies of all different shapes, sizes, and industries. A class action can come in many different forms. It can come from employees. It can come from consumers. There's a lot of different variables at play, and it's important for businesses to be proactive in terms of strategies to prevent class actions, as well as defend them, depending on where the case is filed, what type of case it is. There's no one-size-fits-all mechanism, and I specialize in helping businesses craft those solutions. Primarily, I'm a member of our class action group, and I'm also a member of our firm's ELBI group, which is our employment law group and traditional employment law claims. In terms of the financial services sector, one of the biggest cases I've ever worked on is a case involving a major financial institution that was initiated by the EEOC. The case involved claims of race and gender discrimination, and it essentially alleged what you might think of as like a Wolf of Wall Street type environment there, saying that there's all sorts of hostile allegations and activity going on involving different people in the organization, a lot of salacious allegations. And it was interesting because it kind of lended to a perception of certain parts of the financial sector having, a form of a workplace that was hostile towards females, hostile towards minorities. And that was a very fascinating case to be part of in terms of watching how the government prosecuted that case, would lean into some of those stereotypes, which I often found were untrue. But, of course, there are certain folks that you've got to, look hard at in any employment law case to determine whether or not what the company was accused of, whether those practices were true. And what that opened my eyes was that the financial services industry and the businesses in there can be exposed to so many different types of claims beyond just traditional discrimination. And yeah, happy to be here today and happy to talk about some of what I'm seeing in terms of trends facing businesses in the financial sector in terms of class action filings.
Yeah, that's awesome. Really fascinating practice to be a part of, I'm sure. So, you mentioned a couple of examples, but what are some of the biggest areas of class action risk that you're seeing for financial institutions?
In 2025 and going into 2026, there's a few areas where I think financial institutions absolutely need to buckle up and have on their radar in terms of getting sued in a class action lawsuit. And I would probably put at the top of that list data breach. This is one of the hottest areas of class action litigation in any space. But as you might imagine, I mean, the hackers are good. They've gone after the biggest banks. They've gone after some of the biggest other companies in our country involving, tech and travel and hospitality and just all sorts of, major organizations have been hit with breaches. And it's important, I think, for financial services companies to have robust, data privacy or operations within them to prevent against these. In addition to data breach, wage and hour is another huge one. Wage and hour often involves classification of whether employees are exempt or non-exempt. And while of course, a manager of a bank or executives at a bank would, traditionally be exempt versus, say, a teller who is non-exempt. there's a lot of positions in that gray area, positions involving sales, positions involving lower level managers, and those types of cases that are kind of in the gray area are heavily litigated in the financial services space. Beyond data breach and wage and hour, I'd say a few other areas where financial institutions definitely need to be aware of in terms of financial risk could be FCRA claims. The Fair Credit Reporting Act is not a new statute, but not only the credit reporting agencies, but just financial businesses in general need to pay attention to what's going on with the FCRA. Privacy is a huge one. There's a certain fundamental baseline expectation of consumers when you're dealing with banks and entities that you're counting on to safeguard your financial and personal information, that that's not going to be breached in a data breach, or that's not going to be transmitted to third parties without your consent by way of, a privacy issue. And privacy class actions have also been a lot of the rage, particularly in Illinois, where you and I are, Joe, as well as California, where, nearly every major financial institution probably has some connection to, or at least a lot of the biggest ones, and those are some of the states, as well as New York, right? You're looking at some of the major states where financial companies would be located, and they also happen to have the most plaintiff-friendly privacy laws and the most aggressive privacy plaintiffs class action attorneys. And finally, again, discrimination. That's not something that's unique to this industry per se, but as I mentioned before, some of the perceptions of, certain stereotypes of the financial sector being male-dominated, you see sex discrimination and other types of claims come from this area as well.
Fascinating, fascinating. So, as this is called the Money and Banking Law Podcast, we're talking about financial institutions and the class action risk, but let's talk about dollars. What are we talking about in terms of dollars with the worth of these cases? What's the money that we're talking about here? How big are these settlements? How big are these numbers?
When we're talking about dollars, I think we need to use the B word, Joe, and that's billions. I mean, this is the last couple of years, the top data breach settlements have already eclipsed over $1 billion. In fact, let's even talk about today's dollars, and this is just data breach. In today's dollars, for the top three data breach settlements that are on the radar for 2025, you're looking at nearly $100 million total in aggregate. So there's a $42 million settlement involving TMX Finance Corporate Services, Inc. And in this case, there's allegations that a data breach exposed over 4.8 million individuals' personal information. That case is pending in the Southern District of Georgia, and there is a final settlement approval pending, waiting court approval for $42 million just for that case alone. Along those lines, there's two other notable data breach class action settlements that are over the $20 million threshold, one against loanDepot, another with Arthur J. Gallagher. Again, same thing, data breaches. The loanDepot one is a big one. There's allegations that the company negligently failed to protect the personal information of nearly 17 million people. So those three cases right there, you're looking at nearly 90 million. There's a fourth one involving Evolve Bank and Trust and Customer Data Security Breach Litigation. That one was 12 million. It was a 2024 $12 million, I should say, 18 million people. And that's a 2024 matter that's going through the settlement approval phase now. So just those four cases alone that I can, track in my statistics and looking at the top of my head, that's over $100 million. And we're not even through 2025 yet. So if you add that up over the last few years in the data breach space, this is already becoming a billion-dollar industry, not to mention the impact it would have, on insurance and other entities that are often, related to financial services organizations. When you want to look at some of the other areas I talk about, the numbers aren't that much different. In the privacy space, for example, there was a lawsuit against Wells Fargo Bank, one of the blue chip banks in our country, in USA. There's a final settlement approval that's being sought in a class action to resolve claims that the bank recorded phone calls to California businesses without informing the businesses the calls were being recorded. And this would be a violation of the California Invasion of Privacy Act. In that case, the settlement is for $19.5 million. So again, that one's seeking court approval, but that's an example of how the privacy space can have, monumental eight-figure implications if companies don't, check the boxes in terms of consent, right? Looking at discrimination, I mentioned I've got experience defending some of the largest, most complex government-initiated discrimination lawsuits against corporate America. A similar lawsuit, there's a $20 million settlement that's pending right now against Merrill Lynch. This involves a class action resolving claims that the company paid Black employees working as financial advisors and in financial advisor development program trainers and the financial solutions advisors less than their white counterparts and promoted them less frequently. So not only are you seeing data-related claims from consumers, but also employment-related claims from, again, financial advisors and others. So financial services industries can get hit with class actions both internally and externally. And all of these cases are settling in the eight-figure range, which is a lot of money, even if you are, a bank. And finally, a couple of the notable, Fair Credit Reporting Act settlements are warrant mention. You're going to see the $23 million TransUnion settlement might, garner some headlines. That involves a class action claims to the defendant did not conduct a reasonable investigation of disputes of hard inquiries into credit files. So you're seeing it in that space as well. I would say these numbers aren't going down. These numbers are headline generating, high revenue for the plaintiff's class action bar. I think what we're seeing, Joe, is a really savvy society that has a 24/7 news cycle, that's got AI, that's got a lot of tools at their disposal to become informed of their rights or to become aware of lawsuits and complex lawsuits against large financial institutions. And by virtue of being a financial institution, you're seeing companies, Joe, that are going to have, a target on their back, right? I mean, you're going to see, do you see that a lot in litigation against, your clients and others in the banking space where it's like, if you're a bank, you must have a lot of money. Is that something you, see or come across?
Oh, certainly. Yeah. I mean, the old adage is, why do you rob a bank? Because that's where the money is, right? That's it's the same with litigation against banks. It definitely a similar sophistication level that we're seeing from litigants and using all of the tools at their disposal, going after where they think the money is.
Absolutely. And I think the plaintiff's class action bar is savvy to that. I think the employees of banks and consumers who put their money into banks are savvy of that. And put it this way, Joe, would you really want to go in front of a jury in, let's say, New York City or Chicago or California and tell them, yeah, our company, negligently disclosed millions of people's, data, but, you should sympathize with us and rule in our favor? It's hard. And I think it's a challenge because I don't think banks and financial institutions wake up in the morning thinking of ways they can, have shortcuts to not safeguard or protect information. In fact, it's the opposite. And I'm guessing with a lot of, the banking institutions that you work with go to great lengths to safeguard and protect the, data and privacy of both employees and consumers. But at the end of the day, it's an ongoing obligation, right? It's you can't just say we had a third party vendor came in and looked, 3 years ago and we're good to go. I mean, there's safeguards, right? You got to have constant trainings. I'm guessing a lot of our listeners probably have some sort of IT training or phishing exercise at their company, right? And these things are done to both, A, preemptively protect data, protect privacy, but also it's good, I think, when you're defending a class action and someone says you were negligent, you can say, well, not so fast. We were genuinely trying to implement safeguards to prevent this conduct from happening.
Right. So, we've talked about the risks and what you're seeing in terms of dollar figures and settlements and such. And so, we're kind of moving into this actionable takeaway stage, right? What do we do to avoid or prevent or mitigate the class action exposure that financial institutions have?
Excellent question. And the every employer in their toolkit, at least in the financial services space, should consider implementing an arbitration agreement for the employees. Obviously, you need to check with your jurisdiction and check with the latest developments. But for the most part, the general law is that you can have an arbitration agreement with a class action waiver. And when we're defending a wage and hour class action or a discrimination class action, one of the beauties of defending those cases is when an employer has an arbitration agreement in place with the employee who initiated that lawsuit. And you could see a lawsuit with tens of thousands of claimants potentially get reduced to a one-person case. And that can be monumental in terms of fracturing the size of the case, the scope of the case, and minimizing liability. Arbitration agreements are not a new development, but it is surprising. A lot of organizations have not implemented them. It doesn't mean it's a get out of jail free card, but it can help, you know, reduce the amount of exposure. On the other side of that coin, we've talked a lot today about consumer class actions or class actions involving, you know, third parties in the cases of like data breach, privacy, and Fair Credit Reporting Act. And in those cases, I think organizations in the financial space need to take extra precaution to safeguard and protect the information of their employees and consumers. I think there's a heightened standard, and I think there would be a heightened expectation from a judge or a jury that if you were a financial institution and by virtue of people entrusting you with their money, that you should be going above and beyond to protect that information, to protect their, you know, resources, their data, the same way you would protect their dollars. Because dollars are valuable, but so is data. Data is a commodity, and financial institutions need to protect that commodity. How so? Again, I mentioned before, you can engage third-party IT consulting firms. You can do it internally. The federal, various federal agencies publish guidelines about how to safeguard and protect information. But I would say it's important to note this is an ongoing duty. This is something that needs to be done, you know, daily by organizations in terms of protecting this information. They need to be taking a look at their data protection policies regularly, at least a couple times a year, I would posit. The hackers are good. They're getting better. They've breached a lot of the most, you know, sophisticated systems, both on a, you know, government level and a corporate level. And I think the organizations that best safeguard that information, not only, you know, at the highest level, at the IT level, but like also on the ground, right? Having your employees understand the risks that if they open an email or a suspicious link of a spear phishing or phishing attempt, that they could cause monumental damage to an organization, whether you're a large bank or a small boutique financial institution. The repercussions of these cases is massive. And I think it's no longer an excuse to say that we didn't know or we didn't expect this, or it was the third party hacker's fault, not our fault. That is not going to fly in a court of law. And you're going to end up on one of the, you know, top 10, you know, data breach class action settlement lists in Duane Morris's publication next year if you don't implement these safeguards. So I think those would be our takeaways, you know, arbitration agreements for employee initiated class actions, and then going above and beyond with data protection and internal trainings for consumer-related class actions.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Alex. This has been great. One final softball question for you. If our listeners need to, how do they best get a hold of you and our team at Duane Morris?
Absolutely. We are available anywhere and everywhere in terms of phone, email, LinkedIn. My LinkedIn would be under my name, Alex Karasik, K-A-R-A-S-I-K. My email address is A-W-K-A-R-A-S-I-K. We routinely publish in this space. You can find the Duane Morris Class Action blog. We routinely publish on these developments. I know, Joe, you and your team do a blog as well. And yep. I think that it's important, you know, for our readers to just stay abreast of these developments. It's not a once a year thing. It's not every year at the beginning of the year we just check, but there's an ongoing duty to stay in touch with the legal developments in this space. And we're here to help with that. So we look forward to having the listeners look for our Duane Morris Class Action Review, which will be coming out around New Year's, around the turn of the year. And you'll see a lot of banking and financial institutions in the book in the top 10 categories, right, for wage and hour class action settlements, data breach class action settlements, and some of the others we talked about today. And that'll give you a good flavor of the class action risk in terms of putting dollars, a dollar amount attached to it. And hopefully that'll be enough to incentivize companies to be proactive and prevent these types of bet the company cases.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic. Well, this has been a great conversation. I really appreciate your time, Alex. I appreciate your expertise. Grateful to have you as part of the Duane Morris team more broadly. For our listeners, if there's any questions from this episode or any other episodes for today, obviously feel free to reach out directly to Alex. Or you can reach out to me at jsilvia@duanemorris.com or your other favorite Duane Morris lawyers. Finally, be sure to please like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. But otherwise, thanks for listening in. Stay tuned for new episodes always coming soon. And final thank you for Alex for being part of our podcast, our initiative here. Really appreciate it. Everybody have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.